This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello, welcome to Shogun World. We've got a train, a witch, and a whole gang of ninjas. Stay tuned, we're going to break it down right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh yes, welcome to the 36 Chambers.
Oh, I love the cover, the like shamisen covers of these. I was like, yes.
Oh, it's so good.
So fun.
I love how you get to, you always know that it's going to be some popular song. You're just not sure which one.
Yeah, this, at so that moment where you're like, wait, right. And what then
when
is it?
I was wondering if they were going to get through this without getting to Wu-Tang, but luckily they did. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Westworld After Show. You're here with half of your lovely panel. Right over here with me is the lovely Kari.
What's up? Kari here.
We are here to break down this episode for you. Akane no Mai.
I looked up translation, so online they were saying Dance of Akane, but if you're going, because Akane is her name, so right. But no is possession, so I'd go more with it's Akane's dance, which Akane's is very dance. Appropriate for
yes.
This episode.
One of the two. The central part to the episode is her dancing and also
yes.
the, with Sakara and the parallels between Maeve and what she gets to see mm-hmm. and stuff. So as far as between that and the side plots we got with Teddy and Dolores, what was your overall thoughts of the episode?
I loved it, but I'm super into Japanese culture. Like, I studied mm-hmm. Japanese in college, so I was like, I'm so excited on so much of this. But it's a exciting change of pace, too, and seeing our characters in a different environment.
Right.
And then also seeing their doppelgangers, mm-hmm. which was like, woo, throwing them for a loop. And yeah. kind of fun to be like, which one is who?
Oh, yeah. In terms of this episode and last episode, I really enjoyed getting that we actually got to split the plot lines up to give them more and more time.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that we were going to get this Maeve-centric episode and that they were going to give Shogun World all this time to expand, I was really excited for mm-hmm. that. I'm not all of Japanese culture, but specifically samurais are incredibly fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a phase where I was like super crazy about samurai culture and reading about all that stuff. So seeing this, I'm a huge Akira Kurosawa fan. He's one of my favorite directors, and there was a lot of influence between those. But along with the parallels we saw of the Edo period Sweetwater,
mm-hmm.
I think it also drew a lot of attention to the parallels between, you know, Westerns and samurai culture. A lot mm-hmm. of the traditional Westerns that kind of made the Western genre what it is now were taken directly from adaptations of Japanese Edo period stories about samurais with honor and things of that nature.
Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven.
Oh, exactly. There's yep. lots of yeah. references like that. So I really enjoyed it. But before we get into the Maeve stuff, I want to just quickly break down the smaller parts of the episode.
Yeah.
So I think we should start with what we saw first, the scene, which is presumably current time.
I'm thinking
with Delos,
so.
I believe so. It seems to be the newest one. So we see them and they have, they've started pulling the hosts out of the river. They said they've dredged up 50%
yeah,
was the
draining
number that
the
they
valley.
Said. Right.
Yes.
So they're in the process of draining it out and pulling all the bodies up. We see that they've got those devices that they put on that automatically pull their control units out. So it's interesting to see that. What did you think about them? It seems like they're kind of, it's at this point in time they seem to be comfortable, a lot more comfortable than what we've seen like earlier of them with them, like the battles and stuff and when they're going in to take Abernathy. And one of the things that the I forget what her name is, but like the commander person that he's on the phone with, she says that there's two teams out to recover Abernathy. So we know in the past Abernathy is being taken to the Mesa after he's been picked up. I'm assuming that is one of the teams she's talking about. So what's the other team is my question.
Oh, like what's their purpose? That's right. A good question.
Well, I wonder if we're going to see eventually that they have to send another team to help them at the Mesa or something. I just thought it was interesting that it wasn't just the one team. And they clearly, at this point in time, they still haven't recovered her yet.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing of I want to draw notice to is he said that 1/3 of the host of mine seem to be virgin, is the word
yes,
that he used.
They have no data. They have nothing going on.
What do you think about that?
I thought that was weird because I'm like, well, wait, what does that mean? Because I don't think they're new beings that they've made. But if they're able to erase information, which is weird. But then also we get that info that a lot of the backups have been destroyed.
Right. And so he mentions the cradle, which is a place, mm-hmm. if you've been paying attention and reading clues and details mm-hmm. online, they've alluded to it a lot. I was thinking we were going to get to it sooner, but it looks like from the teaser we're going to get to it next week. But we can talk more about this. I have some theories about what this means, mm-hmm. But we can talk more about that later when we get to predictions.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, right. So we got about the cradle backup. So let's just move on to the other set of scenes that we got in this episode, which is the Dolores and Teddy scenes. Mm-hmm. What did you think overall about that?
We kind of predicted what was coming for Teddy, though. Kind of did.
I kind of find myself bored with Dolores. Like, I was interested in finding out that where they're going, that Angela caught up with them and caught one of the security guys so that she can take them to the Mesa.
Yeah.
Because that's where they need the train to go. So that stuff is interesting to me. But the stuff between her and Teddy, like, to me, it seems so clear that she's not emotionally invested in him.
Yeah. It was weird, though, because she had the moment where she's like, oh, okay, it was all true. And then essentially referring to how she felt about him. And right. then I've seen you so clearly and you're not going to make it. So I was like, I cared more when they were actually in love, but now right. that she doesn't care, I'm like, then it is like you're just stringing him along.
So that's my question is, do you think that she just was stringing him along, or do you think that she has decided that she really does love him, but the only way that he's going to make it and or, you know, succeed in a certain way is for her to make this terrible decision to put him through this pain or whatever she calls it?
Yeah, no, I go with the second one. I think she maybe does care about him and like is like, this is for real, but you're not going to survive, so I'm just going to put you out of your misery now. And again, she's saving the group, and like by killing him, it's the blue tongue metaphor.
Yes, we also got her blue tongue story, which I mm-hmm. thought was very interesting. We're getting a lot of these parables mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. the hosts that apparently were coded into their stories, I'm assuming by Ford, mm-hmm. Probably for this. I'm sure if Joelle was here, she would say that it's all part of
Ford's plan,
game.
Yeah.
Yes. But I thought it was really interesting, and I love that she really was like testing him and trying to see what he would
say. She gave him a chance.
And I feel like he says it himself that he's learning and he's getting there. He's going through the maze himself, but he's mm-hmm. not there yet. And she kind of treats him with kid gloves, you know, except for the sex. But
I was like, oh, finally some sexy time. We haven't had that in a while, too.
So what do you think she's doing to Teddy? Do you think she's like putting a new personality in him or just changing him?
I'm going to go with a rewrite and making him what she wants him to be. We have a live chat on YouTube if you guys are watching live. Thank you so much for joining us. And then also, if you're watching this later, no worries, comment down below your thoughts. Tismoy says, Dolores' paranoia probably won't work in her favor in the long run. Vader Girl says, Dolores is under Ford's control. That's an interesting thought. Matthew D said, still love the conversation between Dolores and Teddy. And let's see. And then Davey says that Dolores is doing something to Teddy's programming. So, yeah, I don't...
Right.
He's
That's
not
what we saw
dead.
In the end. Yeah, he's not dead. He's just... He's being changed in some way.
Yeah.
Which could have some damage to him, according to the engineer.
Yes, he might not be able to handle
and
it.
And I do want to say quickly, I mean, with this show, yes, everything is possible that Ford is controlling Dolores. But if Ford is controlling Dolores, it really diminishes the impact of not only the finale of season one, but mm-hmm. the entire season. So I'm going to choose not to go for that theory.
Oh, I like this theory in the chat. Michael Michael in the chat says she's going to make him straight up murder bot, similar to the character we saw early on. The other I'm blanking on his name right now, the other gentleman that was a murderer, and they made him good. So making Teddy now murderer.
Refilling that
or spell. Ready to kill, which I like that theory. That's probably the direction she's taking him.
I have a really far-fetched theory that she's going to try to imprint Wyatt on him also.
Oh, that's a possibility.
Either to like pull it out of her so she's not conflicted between two, or just so that he's more aligned. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And then speaking on him being dead or not, though, I do agree. ABK88 in the chat says, the Teddy we know will be gone. I agree. I think who we know as Teddy is essentially dead, but like he's not really dead.
Yes. What is layers death anymore?
Well, in this, I mean, because it's not like they age too. I was thinking about that when it was kind of like mother-child relationships. It's like everybody's going to stay the same age forever.
It's also just too, like, going back just really briefly to that opening scene that we saw, and they're like piling the bodies, and Bernard is there. Like, it's crazy to think that even knowing that they're not real and that they're created, like, they still look just like a bunch of bodies. Like, I don't know. They've got to condition the Daedalus soldiers in some ways so that they can deal with big. That. Mm-hmm. So before we get into the meat of this episode, we do have a lovely live read for our fantastic sponsors.
Yes, real quick. Do you guys want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those of you who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our own AfterBuzz founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was the Westworld panel that sent you there.
Please let her know that you heard it from us personally. And also, while you're at it, please make sure to give this very show that you are listening to 5 stars. And if you've got something you want to say or share with us, or you want to say something mean, please leave a comment down below and we will read it and or ignore it, whatever is appropriate.
But
we
appreciate, I read the comments, I
all
do
the love. We yes
on YouTube, I'll go through and I'll like, I don't maybe comment to everybody, but I definitely am like oh, that's a good
I've
theory.
Got some
like,
good yeah I mean
you it, guys have had some great theories.
There's
for
also
sure.
so much with this show, and there's so much details, and it helps to be able to have a community who can be like, no, you were wrong, this is the right answer, because then we know and then we're right.
Well, yeah, or it's been fun of the theories, because I remember with season one, us and the chat were like, oh my gosh, this is the thing with the Men in Black, and talking with people like when they watch the show later, they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, come on, we've had people in the chat tell us.
I think we're about up that far in the season. We're about to start getting a lot of wild theories, some of which may be true. Okay, so what we've been waiting for since the tease in season one, Samurai World, we're finally in it. And it is for the most hardcore and extreme players.
It's
man, he was not kidding.
When Westworld is too tame because it's so much gore.
Oh, man. If you thought just guns were bloody, wait till you start hacking robot bodies apart.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
But I like, though, we address, which could be the problem with the Ghost Nation before, is Maeve having the same problem that she had in other places, is one, it's a language thing, and there's other glitches in the system.
Right.
So and points out it's the wrong language.
So we start out with, you know, them with the cliffhanger we got from the last episode of them encountering the Ronin version of Hector, who I'm not sure if we got his name, but I definitely didn't get it.
The leader one who's kind of the Ronin guy is Musashi.
That makes a lot of sense. Musashi is his name.
I was like, the Captain Tanaka says it to him.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. One thing though, I want to say, because it was super funny, a quick thing. I love when Sylvester turns around to Felix and is like, "Say something," and he's like, "I'm from Hong Kong." I don't know, something about that was just super funny.
I think that also says a lot in a little bit about how like this how well they know each other, for how long they've been working together.
Absolutely.
Like, clearly they're working so hard they don't get to talk. So we see them get kidnapped by Musashi, even though he brought a sword to a gunfight, but apparently whoever said that saying didn't hear about lassos.
Yeah, that was
which
funny
I also
too
thought in that accent sounded hilarious. I could listen to that all day.
Yes.
So they get marched into a town, which slowly but surely they realize is Sweetwater, but it's in Edo, Japan.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, they see the same versions of them, the snake tattoo even.
Yes. We get the Paint It Black song even too. Yeah, it was really, I really enjoyed that sequence. Did you?
Oh, it was great. I loved it. And then I don't think I got her name, but the one who was her tattoo was more of a dragon.
Right.
And then she was such a skilled archer.
Right.
Which was so cool. And I just love that. And then, we're human shields. I don't know. There's actually a lot of humor in this one.
Yes.
Especially
I think there had to be, because it's also kind of heavy.
Yeah.
Too. So you have to kind of, have a balance.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed seeing the parallels, and it was almost, it reminded me of like when I'm a big comic book fanboy, and it reminded me of like the same like parallel universe stories you get with superheroes.
Sure. Yeah.
Where you go to another world and it's like
kind of the same, but
picking
not
out who is here. And it was so cool to see. And also the idea that this is clearly not the only time he copy-pasted Sweetwater. So does that mean there's six other versions of Hector out there? There's six other versions of Armistice? What about, like, Teddy and Dolores? Probably not Dolores, but Teddy, maybe. Mm-hmm. Teddy could be replaceable.
Well, Raj World, and we never got to see anybody, and then we haven't seen the other worlds yet.
Oh, man. Just the idea of that is so cool. So we get to see the Sweetwater. We get to see the whole thing go down with the safe robbery and
that being the same thing too. I was like, what's the safe?
Yeah.
And finally though, that's when Maeve's able to tap into the Japanese language thing, which I like that Sizemore points that out. He's like, technically
we learn that all of the hosts share a deep language, and they're coded in a way that, like, if a guest was there and started speaking English, that they would in turn speak English and would just recognize it as a language that they understand.
It's like immediate babblefish,
right? But and now that they're aware of that, she was able to capitalize on that and implement her powers, which is, like you said, now we know is why her powers didn't work on the Lakota.
Yes.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Because we still don't know about the Lakota, because they are saving humans.
They might be outside of stuff. Right. Did you notice the scene where the piano is playing out of tune? I watch it with subtitles and it says piano playing out of tune.
Yeah.
And then it stops, which I was like, that's interesting. That's right when they get to that new space.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to show kind of like how destroyed that place was in turn, and like it was a really good contrast. And also I thought very interesting, since we're going back to that, how they come all the way back to the town and he's talking about how something like keeps driving him back there, and then what do they want? The train that actually takes him back there every time. And so they're like they're leaving through the way that we've been conditioned to, this entering into Sweetwater. I thought that was really cool. So we get to see Maeve comes in. She uses her new power to tell everyone to cool down. We get a nice little dance from Sakura. And we get some information, a little bit more from Lee about the park and how it works.
I was just laughing. I like Maeve. Like, I know we wanted civilized conversation, but I was thinking something quickly, a little quicker than this. Yeah, that was actually really funny.
Got to play the customs, though.
But that was cool, though, when Sizemore kind of points out, well, hospitality is foreplay for a quest. And I was like, that's a good point. And then that's when we see more of the doppelganger.
We get to see the start of, that's right, that was interesting too. They're getting paranoid and them interacting.
Well, that's Hector scene.
That's that same parallel Musashi universe, like not supposed to see yourself.
Yeah, kind of and throw thing you off.
So we get to see the start of the Army of Blood questline, which is very aptly named. and we very quickly see that it goes off script, which is very interesting. Maeve has a line where she says, clearly, there is another choice.
When Akane stabs the messenger, and it's like, well, she made a choice. And I thought that was pretty exciting, too.
Maeve decides to join this quest because Lee has told her that the place that they can go hide Sizemore, Sakura, is also a place that has an entrance back to the underground
Snow
tunnel
Lake.
So they can get away. Snow
She's
Lake,
like, oh, you are useful. That was kind of funny because it's like, why are we keeping you around?
Yeah.
So that was great.
I was kind of thinking that too. And I was kind of warming up to him this episode more than
Sizemore's getting
in the past
a little bit better, and he's been fun because he's our like bridge of what's going on, because he'll be like, oh no, it's this. And then we'll be like, what? And then he explains what it is. Interesting though with the doppelgangers, but maybe because she's the most kind of awoken of the group, is Maeve didn't seem tripped out by Akane, like, just more respected her, and it was more like a nice mirror to her own self, rather than, like, Armistice.
Well, she's a little more, she's still more, in, I mean, if there are levels to being awoken, she's still above the rest of them.
Yeah, oh no, so she, for sure. Yeah,
she's more aware of, I think she immediately understood what was happening. And yeah. I think that's why she was able to rationalize it, but I think that's also why it created the emotional response that later leads to what happened. So quickly, we'll just go through the rest of it.
Yeah.
We got a ninja attack.
Ninjas!
Oh, man.
And that sword fight was so cool.
Cowboys and ninjas! This is the best show on TV!
Yeah, it was so exciting. It was like, what? Oh, I wish it was so dark, though.
I know, it was so dark. I gotta watch it again in a really dark room so I could see more. Yeah, great action, especially with Musashi. I love me some one-on-three samurai.
He was so good.
So cool.
Real quick, jumping on the conversation there, Nate. Steve in the booth here. I am a Miyamoto Musashi fan. I have to ask you, since I have not seen the episode, was he holding two swords?
No, only one sword.
I think he had... Ah. He had one in his holster, and then he had the holster. He had one.
He only had one.
No,
sword.
He just did one. Okay.
Yeah.
Aha.
He has the short blade.
Yeah, but it's a different period though, Steve. Yes. This is Edo period. So.
Got you.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. But the name is 100% a reference for sure. So yes, I thought it was really interesting that as soon as the first ninja saw Maeve tell the guy.
He's
turn.
A witch.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, not
he's
me.
All, nope.
Yeah, and like that fight, that because I was wondering like how much like tension can you create when she can walk into the room and just tell everybody what to do?
Well, it seems it's new, and so she can't use it all the time because later when we get the other characters, which getting a little bit ahead, but like the no ears, it's like, well, she can still speak into their mind, but I don't think she's, she's learning. It's a muscle she has to work.
Yeah. She hadn't acted yet. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean is that because of her being forced to think outside the box and feeling like she's put in that situation where she's basically going to die and like something kicked in where she realized something made her access the deep network and be able to turn him. Okay, so we get the ninjas, we get outside, and there is a massive
giant
samurai shogun army there.
Yes.
And, you know, our boys get captured.
Yes.
Maeve comes up with a plan to imitate the Chinese ambassador who Musashi killed earlier, which I thought was a great, writing callback. They make their way in, and we find out that the shogun is not crazy or awoken. He is just broken. He's leaking cortical fluid.
Yeah.
And he's gone so crazy, I guess, from being broken that he has decided to burn the ears of all of his men so that they can't be
smart,
bewitched by the witch. It is. It is
it's
very
crazy,
smart.
It's crazy, but smart.
It's crazy. It's also a very... it's very apt for the setting to do something so
solve
drastic, right? Especially for people that are very mystical and So,
a couple things before that. One, while they're on their way, Sizemore finds and hides the walkie-talkie device.
Right. I wanted to point that out. I'm interested in what's going to happen with that. And that was where I was like, because I was like, yes, he's finally on the team. And then I saw that, and I was like, oh. But he also was thinking they were going to die when they went in there. So.
There were hundreds of the soldiers too, which was interesting.
Yep.
And then also before they get there, Maeve and Sizemore are kind of talking about like one, your power, and then two, it's like, well, you make us to love and then you don't want us to, and it's and then he makes the argument, well, it's just code, which that's such a great horrible argument for a host to a human to have, because the host would say their love and what their desires are validated, but a human would be like, well, it's just programming.
Right. But I mean, yeah. And I think that's part of the parallels that the show is trying to draw, especially with what they talked about last episode.
Yeah.
How they were talking about the difference and the reason why they're having issues synthesizing Jim Delos is because of they're trying to take code and the human brain and make them interchangeable. And like the brain, we kind of operate on a code, but it's not the same. It's not one to one. So
we're organic computers.
You're right. To them, we, you know, our wants and desires are code, just like to them, it's their thoughts and it's real to them. So it's a very interesting thing to see, and especially getting to see her play out these feelings with Akane right in front of her, with Akane's own daughter figure.
Yes.
And seeing her trying to do anything that she can to protect her.
Yep.
And, you know, as we see, even though she makes a deal with the Shogun, she gets betrayed and he kills her right in front of her, which was brutal. I mean, I kind of saw something like that coming. Well, I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Even before that, though, the sakura tree on her back. Yeah. Oh, like it's carved. That's not just like, you know, a tattoo. That is carved out her back. I was like,
real savage stuff.
Yeah, that was such great effect. So it looks so painful and disturbing, even though it was so simple.
Man.
It's like, oh, that looks so good and horrible at the same time. But that also is that moment where Akane is saying the exact speech that Maeve has.
Right.
Which was kind of
and
fun.
She finishes and, it.
And oh, when she's, oh, then she's trying to get her awake. Sorry, I'm getting ahead
right.
of that.
Yeah. we're skipping around. We're getting it. We're getting to it all. But yeah, I had that written down that she kind of like denies, she turns down the freedom, basically, that Maeve kind of offers her. And makes the choice.
I feel she's not ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think definitely she hasn't. It takes a lot of experiences for these hosts to be able to reach consciousness. And especially with how emotional she is with what is going on right now, I think she was definitely not the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we see her make that decision and ultimately lose Sakura anyways.
Yep.
And then we get to the dance, as the show is named, this episode is named after, the Dance of Akane.
That was so good.
Set to Wu-Tang Clan's Cream. And I do have to say, as much as I enjoyed this, I feel like not using Protect Your Neck was a really missed opportunity. So we get this fantastic, beautiful dance, which ultimately culminates in a decapitation through the mouth,
half,
the jaw.
Yeah, that like serrated sawing around his head was so good.
Oh, man.
Well, Michael in chat makes a good point. Well, after the daughter's murder, I'm sure she's ready to
Now
maybe. She might be like, all right, I'm ready to join you. Tell me more. So
I could definitely see that. That would definitely be one of the traumatic experiences that would wake her up. But I don't know how that would work with her traveling with Maeve being basically the same. And I know that
it's
maybe
like it's
Woken,
a weird,
so it's a little different. But
it's kind of like a weird twin.
Right. What did he call it?
Doppelganger. Well,
he called it Doppelhost. He said.
Yeah, I think he said you're Doppelhost.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up again. And then we get to see Maeve level up. And she, the stress of seeing all this stuff going on around her and once again being pushed to a situation where she thinks she's going to die. She kicks into the neural net and tells everybody to go apeshit and just kill another.
Yes.
And it is some of the best like action I've seen in slow-mo, and like the shot of her with everything blurred out of focus behind her and like the blood is flying by. Like she really does look like a god or like a just this powerful deity.
Her close-up, yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then, in that final stance of hers, too, where she's like, I found a new voice, and now she's going to use it, and just how she's ready to stand off.
My only thing with that is, like, she's not about to fight anybody with the sword. Like,
she had the gun.
She got her butt kicked earlier, and she's got, like, physical endurance and all that stuff, too, and she's still got her butt kicked by the ninja.
Maybe she's ready to do the superpower brain thing and, like, wipe them
she's
all
gonna
out
do
one
the Neo.
Shot. Yes.
I've trained for this. I know Kung Fu. Because she's going to get the guy to code sword skills into her. Yeah, I'm so.
Oh, and then kind of we didn't talk about him more, but it was fun having Felix and Sylvester along for the ride.
Yeah,
they were there just a little bit, but I was like, oh, they're back.
Yeah,
sort of.
I think they're gonna. I mean, because they've been there, they've just been quiet.
They get a couple moments here and there.
They've got it. There's gonna be a reason. There's got to be a reason that they're still there.
Yeah.
Outside of Maeve being sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're getting short on time, so let's do, first we're going to do our predictions, and then after that we're going to turn to the chat and we're going to talk about fan theories, we're going to see what you guys are at, and, we'll talk about that from there.
So while we're doing our theories and predictions for what's going to come up next, mention in the chat your thoughts, and if you are watching this later, comment down below your predictions and what you think is going to happen next.
And now... You're after Buzz.
All right, you gotta go first.
I know, right? Okay. Someone kind of mentioned in the chat, and I kind of was like, yeah, I think so too. Akane isn't going to stick around. I think two better than one, essentially having yourself essentially as a springboard, because that's a little better than just talking to yourself, could help her find her daughter. And then since she has, you know, since Akane has nobody left, in a way, she's ready to keep going. Though she did seem to have a thing with Musashi, the way Hector and Akane, Hector and Maeve are. It was a little bit there.
Yeah, I think is part of the parallel.
Which I think if they're all up for an adventure and they don't have anything better to do, they're kind of like, okay, we'll come along. So it'd be kind of fun to have them go with them.
I would be interested in it, but my hesitation stems from Maeve is so much more than just that of the mistress personality. Like, that was, I think, like one of her third iterations.
Uh-huh.
So while it is part of her, it's not all of her. We don't know how much of Akane is just that versus what else she might have been. So while there are a lot of similarities, Maeve specifically is kind of different from the rest, whereas like Hector and Musashi, I feel like, are basically one-to-one parallels.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah, yeah. And well, Maeve probably is on a different level anyways.
Right. But even then, even just like from the host perspective, they've probably been the same. They're probably built for those roles and put in the same roles and been there since they've been created.
Yeah. I'd like to see her break out of it and go, what else? I mean, yeah, Teddy, I feel, has been reprogrammed. So, but to be more destruction.
Well, we also saw him at the top of the pile at the top of the episode when they were dredging out bodies. So he's already been picked up, but he hasn't had his brain pulled out yet. So I think that has to mean something.
It was hard to recognize him, actually. I wasn't totally sure.
That's it's him.
But yeah, okay, go ahead.
Here's my wild theory, which I blame Reddit for. I think at the beginning of the episode, I think that's Arnold, not Bernard. And I think that's what the brain control unit is. And I think at some point during these weeks...
To bring Arnold back?
Yeah, at some point during these weeks, they go and take one of Bernard's extra bodies and put Arnold in it. And then that's why he wakes up and he's like, he's so confused. He looks like he has no idea what's going on. He's not wearing his glasses.
Yeah.
It's clearly not... Even if it is Bernard, it has to be at least be a new body because the scar and stuff is gone.
Yeah.
So there's...
I like that theory. It's a little out there, but
and I don't know to what end.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, I don't know if some people watched, if you watch the teaser for the end of the episode, there's we'll talk about that. Yeah. If you watch the end of the episode, I think it kind of supports some of that.
Okay.
And as far as predictions, I'm just really excited to get into the cradle. They've been like hinting at it a lot and I kind of understand what it is, but I really think I need them to explain it like three times to me.
All right.
Yeah. I'm really excited for what's to come. I'm loving this season. I think last episode was a great like answer a bunch of questions, but here's some more, and this is a great another lead-in episode. You know, going into what is the second half of the season for another big reveal or whatever's going to happen. All right, now we're going to go to the chat. Share with us your theories if you've got questions, and we're going to talk about that. So I want to go back up. Michael Belasmo said, oh, they're sharing a mind. I think that might be, I'm assuming you're referring to Arnold and Bernard. That also could be a case. I don't know how that would work, if that would make them go crazy or not.
Yeah.
But given that they're basically supposed to be the same person, that might help. That might be the bridge of what allows them to put a human mind in a host body, is having a host that's created on like the same cornerstones as them, so it's compatible.
Maybe
I don't know, because it's a bicameral mind, so it has two parts. Maybe I don't know. I'm reaching a lot now.
Lore Aldridge in the chat says, my theory is Ford is a host because he can use the Wi-Fi commands as well as voice commands.
I saw that. I'm not sure about that one. In the scene with Teresa where he stops the guy with the water, I need to rewatch it, but I'm pretty sure he makes a hand movement. And the same with the ones in his, with the family host that we see earlier that he stops. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I don't think he is a host. He could be, but I don't think so. Yeah. It doesn't seem to make sense with his plan.
Vader Girl says, Teddy and Bernard are connected somehow. Did you see Bernard's eyes when he saw Teddy? And Vader Girl also says, I also think Men in Black was killed season one by Teddy and now is a new host.
Men in Black was killed by... You think Men in Black was killed by Teddy?
Yeah. Hmm. A lot of people are feeling Men in Black died when we saw him shot before. And then similar to your theory, Laura Aldridge adds on, I think William turned into a host based on the moles on his face disappearing. That one's interesting. Where is it?
The problem with that is they've already said in the show that they can't synthesize. They can't. They can't bring people back in host bodies. Like we saw it with Jim Dales, and that was like 2 weeks before it started. So we know that they can't. They're not there yet. So unless they built a host like Bernard, where it's in William's image, and this host thinks it's William, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I don't think that's where they're going, especially based on that he met his daughter last episode. It seems like he is pretty aware that he is who he is.
On the sharing the minds connecting to another show, Xavier Jones says, sharing a mind kind of like how Sid and David have done in some episodes of FX Legion. It's true. Carolina Espinosa says Logan is alive. Okay. And
I think Logan's dead. I don't see any reason for him to be alive.
Yeah. So good theories in the chat. Thank you very much for chiming in. And then if we didn't get to yours, please comment down below your theories on the this episode, what comes up next, and what else is going on.
Yes, if you enjoyed it, please give us a like, a subscription, a follow, a retweet, 5 stars, a high five, a pizza, all that stuff. We appreciate all the love, all the comments. Please reach out to us. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate. I also host a weekly gaming news show on Twitch called Inventory Full. You can catch us Mondays at 6 if you're interested in games. Carrie, where can the nice people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And I just had an awesome show for The Expanse. We had two of the actors as well as executive producer / showrunner in. So check that out over on, I'm still AfterBuzz, but look up The Expanse.
Yes, and Dave and Joelle will be back here with us. Please tune in and catch us next week. And
thanks for joining us in the chat, and thanks for watching.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.